Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this evening. Election Eve. It's almost as scary as Halloween. Joining us next hour will be author and pundit Greg Palast, who has written just a whole library full of books, not the least of which is The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, many other notables. A couple of things you might want to do before he comes on the program. There is a website where you can get his free voter protection guide, which was co-authored by Bobby Kennedy Jr. That is available at stealbackyourvote.com. Stealbackyourvote.com. And while you're at that site, check out his latest essay, How McCain Could Win. That's also at gregpalast.com. But go to stealbackyourvote.com and get this free voter protection guide co-authored by Bobby Kennedy Jr. I think you'll find it very interesting. I'll tell you, every time I go on CNN, and today was one of those days with Rick Sanchez, when I get home, there's usually 6, 7, 8, maybe 10. Today there was an abundance, maybe 20 really nasty emails coming up. I wish people could spell. You know, you right-wingers can't even spell the standard gutter cuss words. It's amazing to me. How do you survive in the world? Oh, well. But it just cracks me up. Somebody sees me on television, lost in the crowd, actually. I have no illusions about any of this, but it's fun sometimes to go on, and especially on Rick Sanchez's program. It's a lot of fun together, and just he does television differently, and I like the way he does it. He does it more like radio. He doesn't have a teleprompter. There's no script, which is very unusual for someone on television. A guy that has an hour news program. But anyway, that's not the story. The story to me is just how when I always, right, Kathy, when I get home, there will be this the whole list of just nasty. So I usually write back and say something nasty about their mamas. I don't play. I don't play that crap. You people, you right wingers, want to say something nasty to me? I'm going to talk about your mama. I'm going to talk about your mama. I'm going to talk about your grandmother. I'm going to talk about your sister. I'm going to say nasty, bad things. So, if you want nasty, bad things said about your mama, go ahead and keep sending me those dumbass emails. They are kind of funny, but I don't play that. I just don't play that. Go ahead. Bring it on. Say something ugly. A lot of people say, well, Halloween, no such thing as witches anyway. Not the kind of witches that are Halloween. There are witches. Witch got the, a bad connotation. Tens of thousands of women were burned alive in the Dark Ages and Middle Ages across Europe. And then, of course, that infection hit this country with the Salem witch trials and so on and so on and so on. But, those weren't witches. Those were healers. Those were wise women. Those were root ladies. Those were people who understood how to cure an illness, how to calm a nervous person. And back in the day, when they were burning so-called witches across Europe, there was only one way to get any relief for anything, and that was to beat yourself with a whip and pray to Jesus and dump salt in your wounds and beg the priest to come over and walk barefoot on your back with nails in his feet. Other than that, the natural healers, the witches, the wise women, they were instruments of Satan because to these Christian freaks, because they actually had a cure. They actually did offer hope as well as a cure in some instances for whatever was ailing somebody. But nah, kill them, burn them, because they're witches, because they didn't follow the Bible. Well, having said all that, there is a real Halloween witch, a real nasty woman, Shirley Nagle, Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, which, if I remember, I don't know what it's like in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan now, but when I was a kid growing up, that's the Grosse Pointe Farms, or Grosse Pointe, was where the really wealthy executives from the auto industry lived. There were houses out there that were as big as the elementary school that I went to when I was a kid. Very, very wealthy section. Well, this woman decided to you'll pardon this, scare up the vote among neighborhood children. She had a sign out that offered treats only to John McCain supporters. Now, I think about how Molly and my daughter Molly, 4 years old, and her little friends, a whole bunch of her little friends went trick-or-treating near where she goes to school, preschool. All her little friends, and they're great kids. They really are. And the neighborhood they trick-or-treated through, there were some McCain supporters, there were some Obama supporters, mostly Obama, but some McCain, you could tell by the yard signs. And nobody even would think to do something like this to little kids. Unbelievable. She had a sign in front of her house that said, "No handouts for Obama supporters, liars, tricksters, or kids of supporters." Oh, my God. She was asked by WJBK, the Fox News affiliate in Detroit, sent a reporter out, and the reporter wanted to know, what about the children who were turned away empty-handed and crying? And this old bitch said, "Oh, well, everybody has a choice." It's just incredible. If the kids showed up and said, "Yeah, we support, my mommy and daddy support Senator McCain," those kids got candy. What a nasty-ass old bitch. She's not a witch. She's a nasty-ass old bitch. Now, if you want to see what she looks like, we were going to play the bit from WJBK, but why bother? If you want to see it, just Google Shirley Nagel plus Halloween, and you'll get more videos than you can handle. It's gonna be an internet hit. It's gonna be a YouTube hit. I know it is. A nasty, grouchy, bitchy white woman in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, who had a sign out telling children to go away if they didn't support McCain. Ah, for Christ's sake! That's another reason I just hate Republicans. And don't send me an email, some of you Republicans say, well, that's unforgivable. That's what you people promote. That's what you do. You know, when's the last time somebody complained in early voting that they voted for McCain and the vote flipped to Barack Obama? Huh? When's the last time? When's the last time a bunch of Democrats got together and decided to start caging voters? When's the last time a Democratic Secretary of State decided that because somebody had a different address on their voter registration card than it was on their driver's license, "Well, goddammit, you're not going to vote"? Who was it that came up with the lying, stinking Help America Vote Act? You know why Republicans do this? I've said this before, because they're liars, they're cowards, and they know damn good and well that in a heads-up contest between a Democrat and a Republican, with none of this cheating, lying, sneaking, filthy, anti-Christian crap going on, the Democrat would win every time, especially this time. So do you Republicans, everybody's talking about reconciliation, and Barack Obama said, we're going to bring a reach across the aisle. You know what I say? You know what I like to reach across the aisle? A sack of hand grenades with pins all pulled out. You people can go to hell. You people, you Republicans, you conservatives, you people have tried to screw up a democracy and voting and respect for Barack Obama. You can go to hell. You can go straight to hell. Maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, or from now. 2, 3, 4 years from now. Maybe then. Send me an email and say, "Mike, I'm terribly sorry. I've seen the light. I'm not going to vote Republican again." Maybe then. Nah, to hell with that. I'll still tell you to go to hell. Okay? You people turn my stomach. Every single Republican, especially every time I see a story like this Shirley Nagel story, I just think to myself, what's the matter with you people? When did you Republicans, you conservatives, lose your humanity? Huh? When did you learn? Lose it, you bunch of jerks.
Raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips. Echoed voices in the night, she's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high.
Oh, well, everybody has a choice.
Yeah, she said it. No candy for the kiddies unless they support McCain.
Isn't that nice? Talk about a Halloween Nazi, the candy Nazi. Oh, my God. I hope that the bad publicity that generates for her will make her think twice before she pulls a stunt like that again. What a nasty person, huh? Barack Obama's grandmother has died. Rumors have it that he sent agents out there to kill her because, as we all know, he didn't go to visit her one last time. Remember what they said on Fox News and the Drudge Report and the right-wing commentators? He went out there to alter his birth certificate because everybody knows, you see, that he wasn't born here. He was born in some Muslim militant madrasas out in the mountains of Afghanistan where they were building scale models of the World Trade Towers, getting ready to bomb them. So apparently what happened is today Barack Obama sent a hit team to Hawaii to kill his own grandmother to cover up any trail that might exist about what his real reason for going to Hawaii to begin with last week. You know, to say goodbye to his grandmother. Oh, for Christ's sake, who believes that one, right? That's how evil you Republicans are. What happened to you? Or were you always like this? You Republicans that are in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, what the hell kind of an upbringing did you have? You know, when I get these nasty emails, that's usually, I'll talk about your mama, but the first thing I want to know is what kind of a mother raised you? What did you have any parenting at all? So many of you claim a close personal relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why don't any of you act like it? Oh, never mind. I don't care. Not really. It's just the hypocrisy you people show is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, well. Ken wrote in about that horrible ad. That's another example of Elizabeth Dole running in North Carolina, about to have her ass handed to her, where she accuses a Sunday school teacher, elder in a Presbyterian church of being an atheist. Now, we atheists have, I wouldn't say we have exclusive membership. We're open to anybody. Once you come out of the ether, come on over. You know, we'd love to talk to you about secular humanism. You know, stuff like that. I have a lot of friends who believe in God. They're Christians. I have Jewish friends. I have Muslim friends. And that's fine. They know what I don't believe in. I know what they do believe in. And we get along just fine. But Elizabeth Dole, knowing full well that her opponent is a former Sunday school teacher and an elder in the church, accuses her by innuendo. This is what Republicans always do, of being an atheist. This is like when Jesse Helms almost lost to Henry Gantt way back, when was it, in the 80s? This dirty, racist, homophobic Jesse Helms. And he was behind in the polls. Henry Gantt, black man, mayor of Charlotte, was about to defeat Jesse Helms. And one of the last ads Jesse Helms ran, a TV ad, was I'm just paraphrasing the hell out of this, and don't send me the corrected copy. I'm making the point. The white guy, the white hand, was having you're fired or your job's over notice, and the black guy was walking away with the job. It was just an absolute appeal to gutter racism. Elizabeth Dole, being the Republican that she is, is now doing something even worse. She's denying her opponent's belief. I mean, this is incredible. Republicans will stop at nothing. They challenge your patriotism, your honor, your sense of justice, whether or not you're a child molester. And now this. You don't believe in God, bitch. I know. I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this ad. Republicans, turn the stomachs of normal people. And, you know, your operatives are going to have to work like hell tomorrow to try to steal this one. And if you do steal it, all hell is going to break loose. There is no question. But I just hope that the Republicans will just go away. You people don't do anything for this country. You don't. Just lie low for the next 20 or 30 years, okay? Democrats will make sure that you worthless bastards have good jobs. Democrats will make sure that you worthless bastards have health insurance. Democrats will make sure that you worthless bastards have clean water to drink and decent roads to ride on. Democrats will make sure that you worthless bastards will have a decent public school system to send your children. So why don't you just shut up, sit down, go away, let some real people run the country.
American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Greg Fallis coming up after the break at the top, so stick around for that. Email from Ken. Mike, I record your show and just listen to the segment about Elizabeth Dole's discussing ad. While going to court is part of the solution, it's only the start. This has been the problem of Democrats for too long. No imagination, no willingness to take the poop pie handed to them and slap it back in their opponent's face. After that ad, and after the legal avenue failed, Elizabeth Dole's opponent can run an ad that starts with, "Did you know that Liddy Dole likes little boys and keeps them in the cellar?" Then make the most obscene and out there accusations possible in that question format, and then, "Now, none of this has been true, no more than her accusation of our candidate being in league with God-hating atheists. Liddy knew that. So your choice, voter, would you rather vote for someone who will tell you the truth or someone who will lie for political gain? Someone, a Sunday school teacher or a candidate who will say anything, tell any lie just to win?" Of course, they'll complain, but make it the biggest buy of the campaign. Blanket the media with it day after day, no matter what they say. Make sure voters come to think of Liddy Dole as untrustworthy and a liar. It's nasty, it's mean, but that's the only way to make the bully back down. You have to beat them harder than they beat you. Ken, yeah. Well, that's true. Of course, I hate to see a very good word like atheist being kicked around like this. But on the other hand, maybe, you know, somebody suggested to me a couple of weeks ago, "Mike, stop calling yourself an atheist. Call yourself a humanist, secular humanist. Atheist just sounds so..." Well, maybe it does, but tough. You know, that's just the way it goes. CNN has done it again. The parent company, Time Warner, announced today that Stephen Hayes, who is listed as a frequent CNN guest, I've seen this freak before, he has signed with the network as what they're calling a political contributor, Stephen Hayes. Now, the press release says, "Currently a senior writer at the Weekly Standard, Hayes will appear on the full lineup of CNN programming as part of the network's ideologically diverse group of analysts and contributors. Hayes has a long history of reporting on the political world. He is a well-respected and knowledgeable journalist who already has become a natural part of CNN's political coverage," said Sam Feast, CNN's political director. "As part of the best political team on television, Steve will help CNN in its commitment to go beyond the political spin and present viewers with the most in-depth and bipartisan insights," end quote. over the past 8 years, as who reported this? Crooks and Liars? Over the past 8 years, Mr. Hayes has done little more than spin for the Bush administration's war on terror. Hayes was one of the foremost peddlers of the false claim that Saddam Hussein was in league with al-Qaeda, something that even Douglas Feith, one of Hayes' supposed sources, later disavowed. Spencer Ackerman has written that Hayes, quote, has made a career of pretending Saddam and al-Qaeda were in league to attack the United States, end quote. It just goes on and on. Why do these networks, I can understand Fox. Fox is nothing but a sewer. But why does CNN, or for that matter MSNBC, sign on these people who have made a career out of lying? I don't get this. I don't understand what Time Warner is saying. Why does Newsweek hire a filthy, lying, warmongering son of a bitch like Karl Rove? Why is that? And then you take somebody like Greg Palast, who nobody would ever consider hiring him at CNN. But they'll hire a skunk like this Stephen Hayes, a total loser, somebody who would love to see the country just spiral into as many wars as possible, a liar, a propagandist. And CNN sends out a press release? Oh, well, in order to be more diverse, okay, let's have a cannibal on CNN. There's a lot of people who are not cannibals on CNN. Let's get a cannibal on CNN. Come on, guys! God damn it, if you're going to be diverse! Let's get somebody on there who will stand up and say, I love to see children starving! You have enough people on there saying, well, you know, regardless of our political ideology, we have to take care of the children. Screw that! Let's get some equal time for the people who want to see dead children. Come on, CNN, you can do it! Madness. Madness. Have you heard about this guy, this state senator? His name is Roger Wicker. He's facing the fight of his life, it says here, for re-election in Mississippi. So what is he doing to ensure another 6 years in Congress? He must be a representative. He's not a senator. He's a senator. Roger Wicker? Never heard of him. Jesus God, never heard of him. Oh, well, he's not a state senator. He is a senator. Senator Wicker. Have you ever heard of him? I haven't either. Anyway, he's been there for 6 years. Nobody's ever heard of him. So what's he doing to make sure he gets another 6 years in Congress? He's a Republican. He's trying to paint himself as a Democrat. He sent out a sample ballot. He's been in office for less than a year and could lose his race to former governor of Mississippi, Ronnie Musgrove. And the sample ballot, he's the guy that took the place of Trent Lott. He took when Trent Lott retired. But the sample ballot seems designed to deceive voters into thinking that he's on the same ticket as Obama and Biden. Huh? Is there anything Republican scum do that is honest, truthful, decent? No. The flyer, which has been reported as being in the Delta and Jackson regions of the state, checks off and makes bold the name of every Democratic candidate on the ballot, plus Roger Wicker. Now, he's a Republican. And the desired effect is to make the recipients believe that if they vote down the Democratic Party line, well, check off Wicker's name as well, because, you see, he's a Democrat. You sneaky son of a bitch, you. Oh, my God. Now, this is reflective of a couple of things. First of all, how tight the Mississippi Senate race is. But how the southern political landscape has shifted with Barack Obama on the ticket. The idea that a Republican Senate candidate in the Deep South would actually want to be associated with a, oh my God, black presidential aspirant is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Now, at the same time, this loser, Roger Wicker, may just be trying to stir up enough confusion to siphon off the needed Democratic vote to get himself to victory. But either way, it's dirty politics. But that's all Republicans know. That's all they do. That is the entirety of a Republican message. Deception, lies, trickery, nastiness, greed, selfishness, and y'all want to murder your own Redeemer. It's incredible. You just urinate all over your holy book. You make a fool of the person you say is your Savior. It's incredible. You mock his message every time you open your mouths. How do you do this and maintain any dignity? How do Republicans do it? How do they get up in the morning, especially the men, and look in the mirror? You freaks have to look in the mirror and shave. Well, the women do, too, to put on their loads and tons of makeup. How do you people do it? I'm really curious. Knowing that you're a liar, knowing that you're a deceiver, knowing that you're a blasphemer. Now, to Southern religious people, that is real serious business. But you mock your own religion every single day. How do you do that? Don't you know what's going to happen? You're going to burn in hell. Aren't you afraid of that? You are going to burn in hell. Brrr. No, you don't think so? Oh, my God. I hate Republicans. If there were one redeeming quality, just one. But I've searched, I've looked, I've tried to find it. But this Roger Wicker, sneaky little bastard, isn't he, huh? Sends out a sample ballot with all the Democrat names highlighted and his highlighted too. Hi! Hey, I'm not really a Republican. I'm not really a lying son of a bitch. I'm not really, a jerkwad from the boonies of Mississippi. I'm a Mississippi Democrat. I am. Vote for me. Vote for me. Vote for me. Okay? Okay? I don't want to go get a regular job again. Damn. Unreal. New York Times today, in one of their editorials titled The Soiled Envelope, Please, mentions the two worst ads in the political season. And I'm going to share that with you when we come back. Stick around. We have a break here? Yeah, a break coming up. So stick around. Miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Yes, you know you got to get right with God.
State of Alaska. Let us pray for God's will to be done here. Just, you know, a praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit here, that revival to be here in Alaska.
Yeah. And we want you to lead it, baby cakes, when you go back there. New York Times says there are no awards for the season's slimiest political messages, but two deserve consideration in the character assassination category. The first, and this was when we talked about on this program, Republicans in Pennsylvania flooded 75,000 Jewish voters' mailbox or inboxes with an email from a retired Jewish judge in Pennsylvania, a woman, equating a vote for Barack Obama with what she called the tragic mistake of Jews who ignored the warning signs of Hitler and the Holocaust. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. No treats for you little bastards who come to my door unless your mommies and daddies are voting for McCain. Any Jew who votes for Obama is voting for the Holocaust.
Isn't it amazing that all these horrible, soul-wrenching stories always come from Republicans?
Always.
You never hear about Obama supporters who are denying children candy.
Never.
Or spreading. What you do hear is these crazed McCain supporters scratching bees in their face because there aren't any real outrageous stories. They have to make them up.
It's incredible. Now, the second one is Elizabeth Dole's campaign in North Carolina. Who was dumb enough. These Republicans are such dumb asses. She was so stupid that she broadcast her desperation by attacking her opponent for accepting what the commercial calls godless money at a secret fundraiser whose hosts included the leader of a secularist group, an atheist! And at the end of the little TV screen fills with a shadowy photo of Mrs. Hagan, who's an elder at her Christian church, and a female voice fairly shrieks, "There is no God!" Well, there may not be, but that's certainly not a way to get the message out, is it? Huh? It's incredible. It's incredible. And then, as the Times points out, there is the fringe madness of something called Letter from 2012 in Obama's America. This is kind of like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, right? The one written by these mouth-breathing, eyeball-eating white people who are convinced that other white people, the Jews, have this huge master plan to do what? I don't know, drink Christian baby blood? But the letter from 2012 in Obama's America, an apocalyptic fiction making the rounds from the conservative Christian group Focus on the Family Action. And what this is about, it talks about Obama as president and all kinds of terrorist attacks on American cities and rampant crime as guns are confiscated, a nuclear attack on Israel, and the Boy Scouts disbanding to avoid court-empowered gay leaders. Oh, God! We have to remember the Focus on the Family is led by this freak, James Dobson, who fancies himself as Jesus' buddy or something. I don't know what Dobson is about. He's a raving lunatic. Oh, yeah, and he's one of the most prominent leaders on the evangelical right, with an audience measured in the millions. Dobson, you're going to burn in hell, while your body is devoured throughout eternity by snakes, scorpions, and spiders, because you're a liar and a blasphemer. This is what your religion believes, doesn't it? Huh? Oh, my God. Last Friday, a federal judge in Cleveland, according to Cynthia Boaz and Mark Chrisman Miller and a bunch of folks writing at truthout.org, a judge ordered Michael Connell, an information technology consultant to the McCain campaign, to give a deposition in a court proceeding. You see, Mr. Connell, whose firm, GovTech Solutions, built Ohio's 2004 election results computer network. And he was in a position to have knowledge about the alleged manipulation of electronic voting results in that presidential contest, that's the technique known as flipping, in order to switch the winner in Ohio from Kerry to Bush. The deposition was scheduled to take place today. Connell is a former associate of Karl Rove, who is believed to be, by those familiar with the events in question, to have engaged in witness intimidation to prevent testimony about what happened in Ohio in 2004. They also believe that the IT companies associated with the Republican Party have redeveloped the capacity to manipulate electronic voting results in tomorrow's election, both within Ohio and outside, including Pennsylvania and other key battleground states like Colorado and New Mexico. One such firm, Triad GSI, is managing voter registration databases in 55 of Ohio's 88 counties. All this has led to speculation that the McCain campaign's insistence that they can win Ohio, Pennsylvania, and other states, despite being significantly behind in most of the polls, could be prompted by having been informed about planned cyber interference with electronic voting results. Now, as Cynthia writes, the general news media are doing a serious disservice to the cause of vigilance about honest elections by having so far neglected the case involving one of McCain's campaign consultants on digital technology. It would be a travesty of historic proportions if Senator Obama won the national popular vote for president by a large margin, but lost the Electoral College narrowly because of electronic voting manipulation in two or three states. It would be worse than a tragedy, Cynthia, Anne-Marie, David, Mark, and Michael. It will be the spark that causes this country to go into convulsions. We're going to be joined by Greg Pallas when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Seven past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M Radio. Author and political pundit and investigative reporter and just down on and on and on, Greg Pallas, whose first book I ever read was The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, joins us now. If you were good listeners, you went to stealbackyourvote.com over the past hour to get Greg's free voter protection guide, co-authored by Bobby Kennedy Jr. And also, if you were a good listener, you checked out Greg's latest essay, How McCain Could Win, which is also posted at gregpalace.com. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. What's how could I'm starting to get nervous, but how could McCain win?
Well, win is one way to put it.
Steal. How can steal. McCain? Yeah, how can McCain? Other. Yeah, let's go.
Okay,
with the
well,
steal.
Let's put it this way. Here's the lockup. Bobby Kennedy and I just infected an investigation. We've been working years on this and worked together this past year for Rolling Stone.
Right.
This you can count on. 6 million votes are going to be shoplifted, stolen. It's happening right now. I've been getting calls. I just got calls from Florida. I just got calls from New Mexico. The votes are being stolen right now. In fact, it's more accurate to say the votes have been stolen for the most part, because what's going on, this is not the black box stuff, you know, someone's going
right.
to, you know, reach in and fill your software. That could happen, but I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. This is something that no one really has been keeping their eye on, which is that the voter lists have just been purged. They've been chomped and chewed and mangled and abused and lightened up in the night. And, for example, in the state of Colorado, I mean, this is just unbelievable that it has not been reported otherwise. In the state of Colorado, 19.4%, that's one in five voters, have been mm-hmm. purged from the voter rolls. Now, Colorado is the Ohio, Florida of 2008. It is the swing state. Now, I think that Obama is so far ahead that you can't – that one – thing that you can do to protect yourself is just keep voting. If there's 6 million stolen votes, you just vote 7 million times.
Right.
But there are two issues here. It's not just that they're trying to shoplift the presidency, but in Colorado, one in five voters down, New Mexico, one in nine. you have the two Udall brothers running for Senate there. They're going to steal Senate seats. They're going to steal congressional seats. You know, this is the real thing. I mean, and it's not, you don't have to stand there and take it. That's why Kennedy and I have this comic book out, Steal Back Your Vote, which is, you can go to stealbackyourvote.org, and it's a free download if you want. So, you know, there it is. Can't beat the price, man.
Well, why does this keep happening? Why did Kerry bail out after saying he wouldn't when Edwards begged him to keep going to Ohio? Why did Gore stop? What the hell is going on? Why don't Democrats, if necessary, take all these tens of millions of dollars that Brock has raised and hire a fleet of constitutional attorneys or attorneys adept at this and sue these sons of bitches right off the ballot? Why does this keep happening, Greg?
Well, you're asking me why Democrats don't stand up there.
It's That's like, pretty
the
much
the same
it.
Reason that jellyfish don't. They're invertebrates. A lot of them. I mean, Kennedy says it's cowardice, okay?
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
He's a lawyer, and that's a simple term. But it may be even uglier in some ways. Like, take New Mexico, right? Colorado, it's strictly Republicans snatching those 1 in 5 voters. By the way, some people may be confused. Say, wait a minute. I just read something in the New York Times. The New York Times got a teeny bit of the story. 30,000 voters removed in the last 90 days. That's illegal. The courts ordered them back. But that's just a fragment. But that's the Republican secretaries of state who make Catherine Harris look like Thomas Jefferson. But what
we've got one here in Georgia. Yeah.
Believe me, you do. Georgia is another theft state. I'm very concerned about Georgia, even though, you know, Obama's not expected to win the total. But you know what? You've got problems often in Georgia, but like in places like New Mexico, where the Democrats are actually complicit in the theft. And let me tell you how that's happening. Like New Mexico, you've got a self-styled Hispanic governor, Bill Richardson. Now, of course, William Richardson, that's not exactly your barrio name. And, you know, he's very uncomfortable with the low-income vote. He was just sued this month by the Brennan Center for Justice for suppressing the Hispanic vote.
What?
And here's what's going on. All politics is local, and so is all vote theft. I was in the Acoma Native Pueblo in New Mexico. By the way, you can see my reports that I do. The rest of the planet is quite informed. I've been reporting for BBC television on this. You can see it. I went to the Acoma Pueblo. 300 Native names were missing from the voter rolls, so the local officials gave them provisional ballots, you know, those kind of bouncing baloney ballots.
Yeah.
Then they threw out the provisional ballots because they said, well, they didn't have official envelopes. But the officials never gave them the official envelopes, and then they threw them out. And the officials were all Democrats. Now, all the natives are Democrats. It's pretty hard to find an Indian Republican, okay? You know, it's like, okay, it was fewer than African-American Republicans. But why would they do this? The answer is because the natives opposed a uranium mine being put on their sacred mountain. And it's all this local stuff. So the Democrats of New Mexico keep wiping out each other's voter rolls. So they're complicit in the game, and the Republicans are laughing with it. You also have, but then you still have the game going on. You have in Florida, you know, a lot of people know me as the guy that busted the story about how, you know, Catherine Harris wiped out thousands of black folk, calling them felons in 2000, and their only crime was voting while black. And now, but they're back at it. The one of the things that they use is under a new law, and this is the secret weapon of the Republicans. It's called the Help America Vote Act. Bush signed in 2002, and, you know, when Bush tells us he's going to help us vote, man, look out.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats didn't look out. They didn't know what hit them. I mean, I have to say, I to some extent, this is one time when I would just say they just got dumbed. You know, they just got shafted. They just weren't thinking. I actually had some members of Congress, Democrats, tell me at the time, well, the Republicans don't want to get caught again doing something, you know, like stealing another election. I said, oh, my God.
That's the nature of Republicans.
This law was written, by the way, by Congressman Ney and Jack Abramoff, both who then went to the clink for their work, for their good work on the law. Anyway, these guys, but one of the things in there is something called verification. You know, you used to be able to fill out a voter form, and you were on the voter rolls. You just said, under penalty of law, I'm a legal voter. No more, man. They have to verify you. They have to match your name, you know, Mike Malloy against a database. They'll say, uh-oh, here's Mike Malloy, and then they read. typed it wrong as Malloy with a U or Mulloy, and you lose your vote because their records are wrong. And it's not small stuff, by the way. In California, I was just looking, they rejected 42% of all new voters' names. In Florida, they used this verification cockamamie business to knock out 80,000 or 85,000 new voters in Florida. Now, you'll love this one. If you've registered at the DMV, at the motor vehicle office, where white people tend to register, you didn't have to go through the verification. If you registered in a voter drive, which is how most black people register in Florida, at the church voter drives, you have to go through the verification. So all these people knocked out from verification. Now, wait, now you're going to say, oh, but Mickey Mouse is voting. Remember Acorns registering Mickey Mouse and Mary Poppins? You know what, Mike?
Yeah.
I investigated this. I haven't found yet one cartoon rodent voting for president.
Not yet.
And by the way, the number out of 180 million registered voters,
right.
1 million of them registered by Acorn, 24 people have been convicted of voter fraud in the United States in 4 years. 24 people. That's it. And not for lack of looking, man. They are hunting and hunting and hunting. I spoke with David Iglesias, you know, the fired prosecutor.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
A McCain guy.
Yeah.
And he said that they told him not only to find illegal voters, he said he hunted after 100, not one single case of a fraudulent voter. Not one. But and then they told him, well, arrest one anyway.
Yeah, create one. Hey, hold on, Greg. We got to do a break here. We're talking with Greg Palast. Stick around. If you haven't been to the website yet, you need to... You need to go. You need to go to stealbackyourvote.com and download the free download there on how to protect your vote.
Thanks, but no thanks on that bridge to nowhere.
Yeah, sure you did. 21 past the hour. We're talking with investigative journalist Greg Palast, who, along with Bobby Kennedy, has a free download at... what's the website again, Greg?
Stealbackyourvote.org.
All right, now, right before the break, we were talking about Iglesias, and he was only one of these federal attorneys.
Right.
And that, if they don't exist, then, these fraudulent Democratic voters create them.
Yeah, I mean, it's grim. You have to understand what he's talking about. And again, I want to emphasize this guy's a Republican, and he's a big McCain supporter. He said,
right.
Look, the party was pressuring him to bring federal charges against just, you know, grab some, you know, poor Chicano and say you're going to go to the federal pen, or you plead guilty to a misdemeanor, get a $100 fine, and then they could waive the your piece of paper and say, aha, we've got an Acorn fraudulent voter.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know what I did, I actually went to the top Republican attorney who's been bitching about Acorn making these accusations. I said, okay, you said 5 million illegal voters. That's quite a bit. Now give me the names of five. Well, how do you do that, right? You know, he says, how do you do that? I said, well, you've got their names and addresses because they're registered, right? So finally they coughed up five people. They really did.
Uh-huh.
And I actually hunted down the great fraudulent voters. One, they said, was a double vote, you know, two people using a single identity. That's why you have to have that stupid identity business in Arizona, prove
right.
your citizen and all this, right?
Right.
Because this woman, there's two names using a single identity. Well, I hunted down Melissa Tejas, that's really her name, the great evil one, and find out that she signed one form on a table. The second form, the second signature that she had to add, she signed in her hand. because she was in a hurry. So the second signature was shakier.
Right.
That's the biggest fraud in the nation, a waitress with a shaky handwriting. Then they gave me this woman. They said, oh, then it was a woman, Patricia West. This is, again, a real name. But uh-huh. She said, oh, they said fictional voter. Well, when I met with Patricia West, she didn't seem too fictional to me. And so on and so on through their entire list. I felt like Iglesias. It's all phony. It's all fake. It's all a con. And it's all to cover up the real theft, which is that these guys are using this fraud scare to demand ID, this baloney stuff where you have to have ID. And I say, well, what's wrong with demanding ID?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was just in Arizona, by the way, where your station is based.
Mm-hmm.
And I met, you know, like this 98-year-old woman, that, you know, who was, you know, a threat because she didn't have a birth certificate. She was born in Kentucky. Didn't have, you know, she's poor, rural, you know, that suddenly she's been voting for endless years. And she had, like, three driver's licenses she could show, but because they had expired, she hadn't renewed her driver's license. Mm-hmm. She's 98, right? They said, you can't vote. 10 nuns in Indiana couldn't vote.
Right.
But they, and people heard that story about the 10 nuns who couldn't vote because their driver's licenses had expired. What they didn't explain was that, and dig this, tomorrow over 500,000 people in Indiana will lose their right to vote because they do not have the required ID to cast a ballot
now,
in
these,
that swing state.
Are these people going to find this out when they show up to vote tomorrow?
That's the ugly, horrible business. Just like the nuns, they're going to be told scram, sisters. Or here's the cute one. They're going to, under George Bush's lovely Help America Vote Act, you're going to be given something called a provisional ballot. Doesn't matter, you can, you know, they say, oh, your ID doesn't work. It's okay, don't scream, don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a provisional ballot. And if you didn't have the right ID in most states, then your provisional ballot it's thrown out. It's a pretend ballot.
They throw it away.
They just make
right.
you feel good. They
right.
filled out a ballot.
Right.
It's a fake. Arizona's rife with it, and you have this in Georgia's massive number of provisional ballots, which don't get counted. Ohio's one of the worst. You're going to see this in Colorado is the worst state for provisional ballots, and again, that's the big swing state. All these people show up with their names missing. Forget about it, Jack. You have to understand the theft. This week already in early voting, I'm getting all the calls now, and tomorrow is absolutely stunning, massive, overwhelming. We have, you know, the official statistics, by the way, Mike, are that 3,006,080 people, to be exact, cast ballots in 04 and didn't have those ballots counted for some technical reason. Overwhelmingly minority voters, in other words, Democrats. It's
going
to double this time. You know, but you can do certain things to protect yourself on this stuff. Let me tell you, that's why I say go to stealbackyourvote.org. Like, don't accept a provisional ballot if you can avoid it. You know, one way you don't avoid a provisional ballot, we're finding, if you tell the person behind the desk, I don't want a provisional ballot. I deserve to vote. You know, here's other ID. Here's something. You know, there's basically, you get your rights because you assert it. What they do is, if there's any problem, they just throw that provisional at you.
Mm-hmm.
The way to avoid it is say, no, I don't want a provisional ballot. I want a real ballot. And you'd be surprised that it actually works about two-thirds of the time. You just say, I don't want that. I want the real one.
All right. Hey, Greg, can you hold on again?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here and then come back. There's a couple other things I want to get you to talk about. We're talking with Greg Palast, stealbackyourvote.org or gregpalast.com. Go to either or both of those websites. You'll know what to do when you get there. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M. 26 before the hour, we're talking with investigative journalist Greg Palast and general all-around hellraiser where it concerns the search for the truth. Greg, you know, in the various times you've been on this program, all the other programs you've been on, all the pieces you've written, the books you've written, the articles of what you and Bobby have done, and yet the theft, the shoplifting, as you put it, which I like, all of that continues. What has to be done to stop this? A. B. What has to happen before the American public really goes berserk on this whole issue and brings this whole damn show down?
Well, you know, one of the big problems is that we can't wait for the Democratic Party to do this. That's the big problem. I mean, there's a couple stand-up Democrats, like the Secretary of State of California, Deborah Bowen. You've got Brunner, a terrific Secretary of State in Ohio, who, by the way, if this thing were close, she saves the election because they were about to steal Ohio, let me tell you, big time. Remember that telling you before the break about something called verification under the Help America Vote Act, where they have to check your name against U.S. citizenship files. Mike, we don't have U.S. citizenship files. This is not the Soviet Union. We don't have such a thing.
She said,
you know, this was knock out 250,000 totally legal voters. So she literally said, I'm not enforcing George Bush's cockamamie law. Arrest me. I mean, she was fantastic. The problem is the Supreme Court had to let her go because they didn't know what to do about her. But in Colorado, 1 in 5 voters purged, 1 in 9 in New Mexico. Indiana's wiped out its list. I mean, Barack Obama's going to lose Indiana from pure, complete, two-fisted theft. And you know what? I got to tell you. You know, Kennedy talked to Obama, he talked to the Obama campaign. Obama himself said, you know, he was really worried about the Southwest, but it's not close, so he's not worried now. But his campaign, originally ready to gear up to fight the vote theft, has decided simply to keep it happy talk. They didn't even like me talking about this. It discourages people from voting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean it discourages people from voting? If people march in and don't have their names on the voter rolls and don't know what to do and they get hit for this ID and they blithely fill out these cockamamie provisional ballots, they're losing their vote. That's let's get the cut the smiley face crap. If you know you're gonna, we could lose. I say we. I'm not a Democrat, but I believe in democracy, and therefore, if the voter's choice is lost because Udall goes down for the Senate, well, you got a President Obama, but he can't govern because he'll have an obstructive Senate that wasn't elected by the American people. This stuff continues on. Now, I got to tell you, you know, look, the Democrats grabbed their ankles in Florida in 2000. Kerry went down, and, you know, again, you were correct. I know Edwards. He was steaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you let them do it, if you don't demand all the votes get counted, then they won't do it. You know, it got worse. Karl Rove said, you know, our elections in America are becoming like those places where you have dictators in sunglasses. He was boasting.
Right. Yeah, of course he is.
He was boasting.
Of course
he is. He's the one who came up with the ID business. ID, you know, they say, well, why shouldn't you show an ID? Well, because people don't have them in America. I mean, they know who doesn't have them.
Right.
About almost one in five African Americans don't have current photo ID. In fact, you'll love this one. I was on Fox Television, no kidding, with Lady Rothschild, who backs McCain. And Lady Rothschild and the other people, when I said, you know, not every kid from the barrios, you said the only real citizenship paper we have, by the way, other than naturalization, is a passport.
Right.
And I said, not every kid from the barrios come back from Switzerland from their ski vacation with their current passport.
Right, right.
And you know what? Lady Rothschild and her friends said, why don't people have passports?
Yeah,
they don't all have, you know, their country estate in England that they visit every other week.
That's true. That's true. Plus the fact that they cost about $150. But never mind.
Hey, but never mind.
But never mind. But, you know, the other thing that really infuriates me, and I know this is old news to you. You've been fighting this for 20 years, 25 years, is the absolute failure of media, as you mentioned at the beginning of this program, to report on this, to say, Jesus Christ, they're stealing votes. They're purging the list. They will focus all this time on this phony-ass acorn non-issue, and media will not devote a lead story. ABC, CBS, NBC, forget about it. They won't do it. Now, other than the standard answer, which is, well, because they're corporate shills, why won't this story, why is this story not being reported?
There's a couple reasons. One, because they only report stories that are prefabbed and handed to them. The Acorn story, and I have to say I was disgusted by CNN, who should know better, literally ran a story from their so-called investigative unit, and I recognized about the Acorn, fake Acorn stuff. It was purely, they literally used video clips. They set up, entirely set up by the GOP. The Democrats don't do the similar thing. So if it's not prefabbed, see, most of our news is a cheat. It's like buying a cereal box with half the cereal gone. It's all done on the cheap. It's all faked. And the Republicans are very, very good at just simply providing this pre-chewed crap so that there is no investigative reporting in the United States. I have to do it for BBC television. You want to see a really sophisticated report on voter suppression? Go to stealbackyourvote.org and watch the film, which was, by the way, on prime time on BBC television all over the world. And that's what the world is seeing, so the world knows. But, yeah, so the corporate meeting, it's cheap, it's crappy, it's easy to do because no one challenges you when you just do the stuff that's handed to you. And so Acorn's a cute story. But, you know, and there's another thing to it. No one cares about Native American voters, poor voters, getting the shaft. That's a non-story because these are non-people.
Yeah. I don't want to get into the real terror that I'm feeling here as we get closer to this election. My wife and I have talked about this. I've talked about it with some friends. With the polls where they are, with the expectation where it is, with the crowds of 10, 20, 50, 100,000 people turning out, with the obvious fact in front of our faces that people have had enough of Republican anything in this country. What is going to happen, Greg, if McCain steals it?
Okay, like I say, the McCain forces are stealing 6 million votes. That's a lock. The question is that enough given the revulsion? I don't think it's enough for them to pull it off. I think it's enough, but on the other hand, no question we're going to lose Senate races and congressional seats to this con job, this steal. I'm really worried about Colorado. Now, if it really goes wild, they're going to, by the way, blame it on the Bradley effect. They're going to say, these people lied going into the voting booths, and they put on their sheets, and they became Klansmen and voted for McCain, and then came out and said, I voted for the black guy. Oh, come on. No one's afraid to tell an exit pollster that they voted for John McCain.
Right. You know,
I actually lived in Los Angeles when Bradley ran. He was running against a complete nutcase. Bradley had actually won the first round of an election, and then his vote dropped. So what happened was that, and people actually didn't know he was black. This was 40 years ago, man. Years ago. This is like, you know, it's like, come on. So it's a con. It's a cover for big theft. You're going to see numbers that don't match the exit polls because, you know, one thing that happens in an exit poll, they ask people how you just voted. They didn't ask whether your vote counted. So they're going to use that con. Now, if it goes all the way, if they really can pull it off and they can steal enough, and I don't think they can on the presidential side, but if they can steal enough to steal it for McCain, as they did for Bush twice.
Right.
Well, America will be on fire. I hope not. I want people to go to stealbackyourvote.org, and we're going to have working with Jesse Jackson. We're going to talk about an affirmative, positive, but firm response. And as we saw in Ukraine and Peru and Serbia and other places where they stole the elections and people went out on the streets and said, no work, nothing moves until the votes are counted. But I do actually believe that the cities will burn.
Well, here's
I don't have any doubt.
I don't either. Here's another thing. This is the Daily Mail of the UK online. The lead is the American presidential election could descend into electoral chaos tomorrow as unprecedented numbers of voters turn out to cast their ballots in a system that is largely untested. It goes on. It quotes somebody named Doug Chapin, director of the Pew Charities Trust, electiononline.org, who said voter turnout will dwarf all other problems in this year's presidential election. So not only do we have the problem, Greg, of the voter suppression that is active and ongoing and has been for God knows how long by these filthy Republicans. Not only do we have that, and then the lack of willpower on the part of the Democrats, but now we have what Obama has inspired people to do, and that's to get off their asses and go vote. And that's the thing I'm afraid of. What happens tomorrow when you have people who are told, well, you're not going to be able to vote for 6 hours, then when they get up there, when they get up there to get their ballot, they're told, well, your name has been taken off the list. Holy Christ. Hold
you're
on,
Greg. See it. Yeah, it's incendiary, but I got to tell you, we're finding evidence that they're reducing the number of machines deliberately.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Hold on, Greg. We'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. We're talking with Greg Palast. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
An eye is being kept on this very powerful nation, Russia, because they are right there. They are right next to our state.
Yeah, well, I can see the moon, Sarah, so I guess I'm qualified to be an astronaut. It's 10 before the hour, finishing up our conversation here with Greg Palast. And again, the websites to go to, gregpalast.com always, but also Steal Back Your Vote. That's .org?
Yeah, right? .org is my favorite.
Steal back your vote.org. Right, okay. And get the free voter protection guide co-authored by Greg and Bobby Kennedy Jr.
It's a comic book, 24 full-color pages. You get our full Rolling Stone investigation just done by Ted Rall and other pen berserkers.
Yeah, I love comic books, especially Ted Rall's work. Let me word this, because I don't want you to make predictions. I want you to your best guess based on all your years of investigative work, but primarily your work around this issue of America's electoral system and the condition it's in. Give me a scenario for what you think is going to happen tomorrow, Greg.
Don't know, except that, like I say, with a 6 million vote theft, believe it or not, it ain't. I don't think it's going to be enough. I mean, Kennedy and I were joking. You know, if they steal 6 million votes, well, I have to vote 7 million times. But that's what's happening. You're going to have 130 million people, 130 million people voting. About 20 million will have voted already early. You're going to have about 110 at the polling places. You're going to swamp it. We've had places like in the Republican areas of Ohio where we actually have evidence that they are literally removed voting. They didn't remove the voting machines. They removed voting machines. They never put them in that were supposed to be in. You're going to see lines are delivered. What are they going to say? Oh, gee, we're surprised that people are turning out for this election.
Yeah.
Give me a break. They know exactly what they're doing. You had a 4-minute wait in Ohio in the suburbs. You had a 4-hour wait on average in the black neighborhoods in Ohio last time. Every place is going to be Ohio. And like I say, look for the theft. Absolutely, look for the snatch in Colorado, maybe New Mexico, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really should be Obama turf. Come on, guys. You know, but because of the citizenship proof games that are being played, we're going to see. And you know, there's a lot of thievery going on. I think Virginia is going to be stolen. Indiana absolutely will be stolen. That's, you know, Indiana, I used to work there and worked and lived in Chicago. Indiana is a suburb of Chicago.
Right.
That's Obama turf, and they're going to steal it right away. An evil little roach named Rokita, Todd Rokita, the Secretary of State there. What a cockroach that guy is. He has set it up so that Obama simply can't win it, even though Obama's made like 42 visits there. It literally is criminal. In a better world, these people would be chained and read their rights. That's what Bobby Kennedy said. He actually said he's avoiding rights. They should be Karl Rove, and these characters should be in prison, it should be hard time. So Virginia is going to be shoplifted. Florida looked for the big theft. You know, when they say, oh, Florida state, a red state. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. But, again, look for the theft. And I'm really concerned about those Senate races, like New Mexico, Colorado, Al Franken, you know, the jokester candidate. I'm sorry, he may have lost Minnesota for us. You know, I'm sorry if you're a butt of Al's, but that
no
time for jokes. And but I don't think that'll be stolen. That's not the Minnesota culture, or Oregon, where it's going to be real close. That's also not a theft state. But look out at what's going
to
happen there.
So are you saying then, if Indiana does go to Obama, Virginia does go to Obama, you are, I hope, leaving the door open a crack that these are possibilities, right?
Oh no, he's going to win. He's not going to get the votes. He's going to win Indiana like Gore won Florida. He's just not going to get. I'm telling they're not going to give him those electoral votes.
I'm talking about the electoral votes. Yeah. What happens if I mean how?
But I think that he's got. I was saying the best. I did come up with a scenario a couple of weeks ago before the wheels came off the McCain campaign that they're stealing Missouri. By the way, that's another Obama state. I mean, you have to understand this should be a total wipe out.
Yes,
they actually let people vote, didn't purge. I mean, you're talking about 10 million people have been removed from the voter rolls. That's the official number, 10 million since the last presidential. So we're looking at a theft of Missouri, Colorado, Indiana, Virginia, probably Florida. They're not going to take Ohio. I think that they're not going to be able to steal Ohio. You just got this stand-up woman, Democrat, who's keeping an eye on it. And I think that McCain can't do it. Otherwise, he would have gotten Obama was six short last time I was counting, but on electoral votes. But now I think that that they cannot swipe what they want to swipe, and he's gonna win Pennsylvania because it's just foreclosureville right
all
now.
Right.
Are you so angry?
Are you gonna have your cell phone on tomorrow? Because we're about out of time here, Greg. I'm probably gonna want to call you unless things go smoothly. If things are not going smoothly,
please call. I'm going to have people on the ground in the what I don't call the battleground states, the theft states. I will have people on the ground: New Mexico, Colorado, Florida, Ohio. I've got teams spread out, and we're getting ugly reports. But you know what? They can't steal all the votes all the time.
Well, that's true. All right. Well, we'll be in touch tomorrow. Listen, thanks, Greg. I'm just nervous as a whore in Sunday school about what's going to happen tomorrow. But listen, thanks for taking time to chat with us. All right.
You're the man. Okay.
All right. All right, now we'll talk tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks, Greg. And we will. Our coverage on this program tomorrow night from 9 to midnight Eastern time, we will be right in the thick of it. We don't have a lot of bells and whistles tomorrow. It'll be strictly reportage of what's going on, but we'll check in with Brad Friedman and Greg Palast and possibly Bobby Kennedy if he's available, and that's about it. But that's all you need, right? All right, listen, phone calls when we come back. Phone calls about the election tomorrow. What we'd like to hear from you tonight about is your take on what's going to happen tomorrow, the possibilities. And the possibilities of what if things go right, what if things go wrong, all right? I want to hear from you. 800-989-1480. Come on, do it.
Down, falling down, realize this will turn.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. All right, this final hour of the program tonight, or not really an hour. It works out to about 36 minutes, I think. But the idea I have is to hear what your take is, and I want you to stay on the topic tonight. Your take on what's going to happen tomorrow. If Obama, when Obama wins, like Greg pointed out, some of the down ticket candidates, whether they're Democrat or whether it's for the Senate or the House, could very easily be screwed by what happens. The other thing that's going on, especially here in Georgia, for example, there's going to be an enormous turnout. And as far as the Senate is concerned, we have this cowardly son of a bitch, Saxby Chambliss, who has been the senator here for 6 years. He's running against a decent, good, veteran Democrat named Jim Martin. The fly in the ointment, so to speak, I'm not, you know, don't misunderstand me here, is there's a Libertarian candidate. Here in Georgia, we have the 50% plus one vote rule. In other words, if you have three candidates and one candidate gets 49%, another candidate gets 46%, and the other candidate gets 5%, then you've got a runoff between the two top vote getters. Now, I'm sure this applies in various races around the country, but if there's an enormous turnout because Obama's at the head of the ticket here in Georgia, and it does go to a runoff, the thing I'm afraid of, it goes a runoff between the thug Saxby Chambliss and the decent American Jim Martin, that the voter turnout for a runoff, which will be in December, I believe, will fall off by 80%. And if that's the case, then Saxby Chambliss, this piggish son of a bitch who he's the one that ran the ads against Max Cleland, a triple amputee Vietnam veteran. And it was Saxby Chambliss who ran the ads down here comparing trying to convince people that Max Cleland's points of view were similar to Osama bin Laden's. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, Mike, that's because the people in Georgia are a bunch of dumbasses. Well, to a large extent, you're probably right. But the fact that because people could be convinced, oh, I'm not going to vote for our former senator, triple amputee, Vietnam vet, because this freak from Central Georgia tells me that Max Cleland is as bad as Osama bin Laden. Sure, we have dumbasses in the state. You bet we do. We're chock-a-block with dumbasses. But for Saxby Chambliss to have done that, I can't talk about the guy without getting furious. So the problem here in Georgia where it concerns the Senate race is what I just described. I'm sure that there are other places around the state that have the same situation. So I don't know how to prepare myself for tomorrow. I don't know what to do. So if there's no way to prepare, then you do the old go with the flow. I wish I could do that. You know, I wish I was that personality type. I wish I had enough of an element of spirituality to do that sort of thing, go with the flow. I wish I had more, when I say spiritual, I'm, you know, like a kind of a Buddhist attitude, go with the flow. Take note and let it fly by. But that's not me. So I don't know how to get ready for this. Maybe you have some ideas what you're going to do. Whatever. We'd like to hear what your comments are. So the number here is 800-989-1480. Let's start with Derek, who's calling from Iowa City, Iowa, listening on Sirius. Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, son of a gun. Hey, how are you? I'm just driving back from St. Louis back to Iowa City. I had a chance to go down and get out the vote for 3 days. In a fairly typical, I guess, 100%, you know, strong Democratic district. But the voter turnout there regularly, as I asked one of the people that's managing the campaign down there, they said is normally 45%.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at having about 80 to 90% mm-hmm. is the way they see it for this one particular part of South St. Louis.
Are they prepared for that many voters to show up?
Well, it's paper ballots, so yeah, they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's one good thing. So you can fill out as many paper ballots as you want. They've got 1,500 lawyers I think, on staff to field problems. They've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people working the streets. And it is just totally amazing the kind of organization that is involved in these areas. And I don't know about, I can't speak for anything else, but for St. Louis in general, walking around there, a white guy from Iowa, and just seeing how excited the people are about getting to vote and how for sure that they're going to do it. And some of the people, we focus on people that have not voted in the past. So I just think it's going to be whatever this Bradley effect is probably going to be negated by that. So.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Bradley effect anyway. The way I got the story, and I forget who it was from, but somebody whose work I respect, yeah, Bradley was ahead by 8 percentage points, but the night before that election that is referred to that resulted in the so-called Bradley effect, the city of Los Angeles was swamped with the political ads, and as a result, some last-minute changes occurred. Had nothing to do necessarily with the race of the candidate. Had everything to do, probably, with people changing their minds at the last moment. But once something like that enters into popular lore, once something like that enters into urban myth, then all of a sudden we're dealing with a so-called reality. I don't believe it for a second, Derek. I don't think that, like Greg Palast pointed out a few minutes ago, you know, white people are not going to come out from voting and say, yeah, I voted for McCain, or yeah, I voted for Barack Obama, when they really voted for McCain. They're just not going to do it. So I don't believe in the Bradley effect. I really don't.
I agree. The one thing that I'm fairly positive of is all the poll models that they've been going on can't possibly be have the effect that all these African Americans are coming out to vote. You know, I just don't think that they take that into account. I think they have to go on past models, and then they have no idea that there's going to be a doubling at least, hopefully a doubling. I'm just, you know. And you know what? No matter what happens, for some god awful reason that McCain and Palin won, it's not going to be pretty, and you know the world's going to change anyway. So
I think so. All right, Derek, listen. Safe trip home. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. As Greg has pointed out, I think Derek knows this. I believe it, and you probably believe it too. There is no way in hell that McCain and the hoe can win. That's not going to happen. If McCain winds up with the presidency, it's going to be because it was stolen. There is no way that the voters of America are going to send these Republican scum back in for another 4 years to the kind of torture that we've had to deal with for the past 8. So it's a given. It's a given that McCain and the hoe cannot win. They cannot win. The only way McCain can wind up with the presidency is through theft. TJ is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. TJ, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm down here in Miami. This is my second time voting for a president. I voted for Kerry Edwards in 2004.
Right.
Down here, the voter participation has been awesome, if you know, from the young black community.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been so troubled by hearing what this guy was saying about them stealing the election. And Mike, I swear, tomorrow they cancel school for Miami-Dade and Broward counties down here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he does not win, it's going to be problems. I'm telling you.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me do a break and come back. TJ, I'm going to put you on hold. Just stay right there. We got to do a break here, and then we'll come back. Pick up the conversation with TJ and take your phone call. No, I agree. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, I'm going to whip your ass. That's what it's getting down to.
When they get caught, they give you $2 cents. They don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in a ride. How they gonna die? Gasoline's in short supply. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey,
Hey, don't it make you red stay? Hey, don't it make you red stay?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Don't you dare to try to stop us. No one could for long.
21 past the hour. We're talking with TJ in Miami, listening on WINZ. All right, the schools are closed tomorrow. I know in a lot of different cities, are the schools closed here tomorrow in Atlanta? They're not closed in Atlanta, but a lot of cities, the schools are closed, which means there's going to be a lot of young people on the streets. And if word gets out that the election is being stolen. Now, of course, word couldn't get out until after 7 o'clock at night when the polls start to close in the east.
Right.
But that's what concerns me. Again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, and somebody's going to get their ass whipped. And I, you know, after listening to Greg, I don't know if you heard that interview I had with Greg Palast. After listening to this, about how the Republicans are all about suppression of votes, stopping people from voting. You know, I live here in Atlanta and in the Atlanta area, and I've seen long lines of so-called minority folks who are out. We had early voting here. It's been going on for a couple of weeks.
We've had early voting down here for the past 2 weeks. The average time was between 2 and 4 hours. And I mean, this was every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen that many African American black folk in line.
No.
I mean, in my life.
No.
And if
people start to feel like they're being cheated and fooled after what everybody has gone through, after what we witnessed for the past 8 years, there's not a person in America who has any kind of sense at all who doesn't understand that the election in 2000 and the election in 2004 were stolen. There's nobody with any brains who disagrees with that. I know Republicans say, what are you talking about? But forget Republicans. I'm talking about people with brains. And everybody knows. So if it happens this time, I fear for my country. I really do. I just fear for my country.
Well, I appreciate you, Mike, for taking my call.
All right, TJ, stay in touch, especially on election night, tomorrow night, you know, if you're out and about or you want to call in, give us a call. Who's next? Will is calling from Miami, also listening on WINZ. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
All right. I just want to start off by telling you something might cheer you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Even some of my frothing at the mouth Republican Latin family members are starting to have questions about their affiliation with this Republican illusion that they've harbored for so many years.
well, good.
And that ain't easy, buddy.
I hear you.
I'll tell you
I hear
what.
You.
In any case, back to the matter at hand. If McCain should steal the election out from under Obama, I'm flying out to New York on the 5th. I'm going to find out where there are going to be groups of people protesting, and I will join them in Manhattan and peacefully, but steadfastly.
Well, that's always been the way to do it in this country, protest peacefully, the peaceful petitioning of the government for redress of grievances, yada, yada, yada. But it hasn't really had that much of effect on this government. We have the militarization of North America now with the so-called North Command. We have directives in place that all Bush has to do is whip out his ballpoint pen and sign them, and it puts us under martial law. I think things are pretty much hanging in the balance in a way that they never have before, and I think the majority of us Americans are not aware of how much we're on the knife's edge tonight and how tomorrow it could go either way. I don't like to talk like that. I really don't, because I think panic talk can be infectious. But when I see,
but you gotta let people know. People
well, that's
know.
The thing. You know, when I see that the Republicans, these operatives, these punks, these real punks,
just don't seem to care. It's almost like they're inviting some kind of disturbance so that martial law will be instituted. You know, when you see that, you just want to say to yourself, you know, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let it happen. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, Will.
No. Hopefully everything goes as it's supposed to go. And when Obama becomes the president, and this is equally as important, is that I'm not going to stop being active.
Yeah.
That's something that I think a lot of people are, you know, they're holding their breath, and then they're going to finally release and just kind of let go, and that's it. We did it. No, that's not the case.
No, that just begins the work. That doesn't end it. That just begins it. And I hear what you're saying, Will. Absolutely. I completely agree. Listen, we're coming up on a break, pal. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Will. I appreciate you checking in. And y'all that are calling in tonight, you know, don't forget, we're going to be here tomorrow night, right in the middle of it. So most people go to television for their coverage, and that's what we're going to do. We will have two or three monitors on here in the studio checking as much as we can. But we want you to stay tuned to us so we can talk about this as it happens.
Also, I think we ought to tell everybody we're going to have Brad Friedman on 3 hours before our program and 3 hours following our program.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be doing his own
special election coverage.
Right. All right, stick around. Quick break. We'll be back. Back to your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
On Nova M, 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Frank is calling from Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Great. Listen, that was a great guest earlier, that Greg Powell.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about the voter suppression.
Uh-huh.
And listen, I'm actually tired myself of all this Bradley effect and reverse Bradley effect. And I was talking with my fiance just last Tuesday. We were discussing where would we want to be when, you know, the decision comes down who's going to be our president.
Mm-hmm.
And what we came up with is going to the Lincoln Memorial, you know, the historic milestone that could be made is just, that location is just so incredibly significant.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, yeah, good point.
And I looked up this one quote from Reverend Martin Luther King, if I could read it.
Sure.
It says, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Right.
And that so applies to this election.
Well, it does, and the sad part is that it's only this election that white people are, I think, and no offense, I don't know what your race is, but there's an awful lot of white people out there, not necessarily you, Frank, who are just beginning to understand what Dr. King was talking about. They're just beginning to understand how applicable what he talked about 40 years ago is today, and I that's a good thing. I'm not trying to gainsay any kind of progressive thought or movement on the part of white people in this country or black people too. I mean, you know, it's just that whites have been the dominant force here. Let's face it; it's not black people who've been lynching white people. It's not black people that held white slaves. So, you know, let's just keep everything in the right perspective, okay? It's not white people that were promised 40 acres and a mule and never got a damn thing. So, I think what Barack Obama, and you know, I had a discussion today with the guy who came and picked me up to take me down to CNN, a discussion about how hopefully white folks are beginning to understand through the Barack Obama candidacy some essential truths about black people that whites had never taken the time to figure out before, because whites never had to. You know, it's always been black people that took care of white people, never the reverse. And, you know, I've talked about this before. So this, you know, if you're a regular listener to the program, you've heard this rap before. You know, it's black folks who powdered the asses of the newborn white babies and cleaned the asses of the 95-year-old white people before they died. So as a result, black folk understand white people the way white people cannot understand blacks. Simply cannot. Whites, black folk have our number. And I wish white people would understand that. Jesus, that I just wish my fellow Caucasians would understand that.
Well, what? They don't know anything about me, Malloy.
Yeah, they do. They know everything about you, okay? So this they and us and them nonsense has got to stop. But in the meantime, you know, it is foolish for white people to think that because of the power differential in this country, the way it's always been for the past 300 years, before this country was a country, the black folk are not looking at this election tomorrow and saying, damn, finally, you know, finally, I'll have a chance to vote for someone who looks like me, aside from the politics. You can't pretend like this is all about issues. It's not all about issues. There's part of this election that's about 30, 40 million people finally having a chance to vote for someone who, oh my God, he looks like me. It's not all about issue. It is, to some degree, an emotional thing, a psychological thing, a breakthrough thing. And I just wish that these white Republicans who are trying to suppress this vote, trying once again, you fools, yeah, you stole a couple of elections. But if you think this one's going to be stolen without blood in the streets, you are out of your minds. You're out of your minds. Don't you realize what you're doing? This country right tonight is sitting on a box of dynamite. And if these fools try to steal this tomorrow, that's the match to the fuse. Now, who has to say, I mean, who doesn't understand that? Come on. Who doesn't understand that? You've seen the lines on television. You've seen millions of people who have turned out. What a palisade. 30 million people have already voted. 20 million, 30 million, whatever it is. Here in Georgia, we have 6 million eligible voters. I think close to 2 million have already voted, for God's sake. Nothing like this has ever happened. And these punk asses who have stolen the last 3, 4, 5 elections, the presidential elections and the congressional elections, they're going to try to steal again. They're going to try to vote suppress again. They're going to send people out to challenge voters again. They're going to have people sitting at these tables tomorrow after some black man has been standing in line for 4 goddamn hours to vote, and he's going to step up and they're going to look at his card and his ID and say, well, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to take provisional vote, ballot, because, you know, you've been purged. Don't do it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, I am coming for your ass. Now, come on. You all know this. This is not me talking. This is what's going on inside your own head. You know this as well as I do. You know this. This better go down the way it's supposed to go down tomorrow. People show up to vote. They cast their vote.
The vote gets counted. The winner's declared. It better go down that way tomorrow. You know it as well as I do. Don't make me go to that third thing. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. Duck and cover. Steve is calling from New Jersey, listening on Sirius. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
I'm a 69-year-old white retired teacher, and I'm going to make a prediction. McCain is going to win. I see Obama will win New Jersey, but where I live in Middlesex County, which is a middle-class, upper-middle-class section, I see nothing but McCain's sign.
Mm-hmm.
Very few Obama signs. I also believe that the white people here in New Jersey, not New Jersey so much, but across the country, are still bigoted, prejudiced, and stupid. And they are going to vote for McCain.
I can't believe, I cannot believe that the majority of white people who have seen their futures destroyed, those that had investments destroyed by the Bush policies, who've seen their sons and daughters go off and die in wars that never should have been launched. I just can't believe that racism is going to override that. I can't. Now, granted, it's going to happen to some, sure. I grant you, it's going to happen to some. But
I have a woman, a white woman, who comes in and cleans my house every other week, and she is not middle class. But she loves Palin. And here in Monroe Township, New Jersey, they don't only have McCain signs up, but on three lawns, these huge signs in pink, Palin, you know, is God. They love her. I mean, that's here in New Jersey, in this section where I live.
Yeah.
Now, in some of the maybe more urban areas, of course, Obama will win. But I donated to both Hillary and Obama during the primaries, and then to Obama during the, after he got the nomination. But I still believe that the white people will not vote for him and that the Republicans are going to steal it.
Well,
they will. That's it.
Well, Steve, I hear what you're saying. And I understand the logic or illogic behind what you're saying. I tend to agree with you. But I also feel, and I feel this, I mean this. I think that enough positive energy has been generated by the Obama campaign that enough white people, enough Caucasians will tip away. For the first time in their lives, they'll tip away, maybe not the first time, they'll tip away from the racist attitude that ricochets around inside their head, and they'll say, look, black, brown, white, it doesn't matter. I've got to vote for the best person for my family and for America. And in this race, it's Obama. It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and Catherine Bay, who is the executive producer of this program. Three quick emails here. This is from Jack in Foster City, California, who writes, Mike, Chicago's Grant Park will be hosting a huge Obama victory party, expecting as many as 1 million happy or not-so-happy Barack supporters. There will be no parking on the west side, defined by the I-90-94 expressways, east side, the lakefront, north side, the north branch, Chicago River, and south side, 22nd Avenue. That is a huge zone. Chicago is where Barack Obama will be Tuesday night. This is a big worry for me. Jack writes, I so hope all will be okay. But this is Grant Park, 40 years later. Yeah, he's referring to the Chicago riots that occurred during the Democratic Convention back in 68. Alva in Woodbridge, Virginia writes, Mike, the Obama rally tonight in Manassas, Virginia was just a 20-minute drive away from me, away from where I live here in Woodbridge. I decided to go. I left at 6 p.m. By 8:30, I was still stuck in traffic waiting to get into the Prince William County Fairgrounds. From every direction to the fairgrounds, every single road was backed up with cars as far as the eye could see. Traffic moved 20 feet every 40 minutes. I've never seen anything like it, and I've seen some hellish traffic here in Northern Virginia. I simply can't imagine anyone bringing in a crowd that size in this part of Virginia for anything, much less to see a politician. Mark my words, if Obama doesn't win Virginia tomorrow, it won't be because he failed to get the most votes. Blah, 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 Alva. In Woodbridge, Virginia. And then this is from David in New York City. Mike, your caller said he would fly to New York City to be part of the action. I hate to be the person who has to say this, but if this election is stolen, absolutely nothing will happen in New York City. The city doesn't explode over anything anymore. Chicago will burn Wednesday, as will Detroit and Miami and many other places. New Yorkers, well, they will have a bagel and a coffee, read the New York Post, and catch the subway to work. As always, New York has been forgotten and overlooked by both McCain and Obama. This is a place they passed through on their way to do Saturday Night Live or the Al Smith dinner. If Wall Street weren't in the city, it never, ever would have been mentioned. We aren't the bastion of East Coast liberal thought that we used to be. Two Republican mayors in a row, remember? This is Moneyville. And where the money lives, so live the conservatives. Sad to say, but the Big Apple just isn't what it used to be. David. Well, I hope that none of this nasty negativity that we're talking about, that I'm talking about, that Greg brought up, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope for this country's sake that it doesn't happen. The convulsion that will ripple through this country if the feeling is that this election was stolen again for the third time, the third presidential election stolen, the convulsion will be something that I don't know if we'll be able to recover from. Once martial law is declared, once there's a authoritarian takeover, how quickly do governments like that return to representative democracy, even one as flawed as ours? I'm very, very much concerned. I truly am. Barack Obama is the trigger here. If it just would have been a couple of white guys fighting against each other, as is so often the case, with very little difference in their points of view, 53% would turn out, 38% would turn out, 61% would turn out. But that's not what we have going here. And I'm not saying Barack Obama's a liberal. That's what cracks me up about McCain. McCain is such a jackass talking about Barack Obama being a liberal. What we have are two candidates, one for the Democrats, one for the Republicans. There are some essential differences between them, but the major difference, as far as I'm concerned, is that Barack Obama offers hope and the future and a chance. And McCain offers death and destruction and a dead end. Over the past 2 years, I've really struggled, maybe you have too, about supporting, again, a Democratic candidate. It was a struggle for me, but once the commitment was made on my part to Obama's candidacy, that's it. The decision was made. So I hope that this election, I hope the Republicans are too afraid to attempt their voter suppression again. Any more than has already happened. As Greg Palast pointed out, millions of votes have already been purged from the rolls. And come tomorrow, when people who are authorized to vote, American citizens who through some fault of the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Registrar's Office or some such bull hockey, when these people show up to vote, and they're told, oops, guess what, dude? I'm sorry. Here's the provisional ballot. I don't know. I hope the people running the elections understand the danger that we're facing tomorrow. Not just the hope, because the hope is real. The desire for change is real. But there's also an incredible, incredible potential for trouble tomorrow. And I swear to God, or whatever, I swear to dog, that that doesn't happen. We'll be on the air tomorrow night starting at 9 o'clock. Brad Friedman will be doing a special for Nova M Radio from 6 to 9 Eastern Time, and then he'll be on after my program from noon to 3 Eastern Time, 3 in the morning Eastern Time. I'm sorry, midnight to 3 Eastern Time. If Nova M Radio is where you get part of your election commentary, we hope to see you tomorrow night. Most people are going to be going to television. Again, so will we. And we will carry as much live feed from the various television networks as this stuff comes in tomorrow night. So hang out with Malloy tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'll see you tomorrow.